Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the scripture here. We're in Psalm 69 and verse 10. That's where we left off, so we're going to just pick right back up there. David continues, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." So he fasted for the reproach of those that were coming against him. David, we get a little insight into the character of David, that he fasted, that he abstained from food. And fast can be, you can fast from a lot of different things, but most people, when you hear fasting, you think about fasting from food. David fasted. He chastened his soul with fasting. And I think that's something that everyone should practice on a regular basis in their life. You know, just try it. Try fasting one day a month, if you can do that. The first Monday or Tuesday of every month. Or try fasting until noon, if that's difficult for you. Many people would have a hard time just fasting till noon. On days when you don't have physical labor to do. Of course, it's not a good idea if you have to physically labor. I know that myself, because you could faint if you don't have enough energy in the form of food to go on. So you need to take a day off, or take your day off, or take your Sabbath day, and try fasting to noon every Sabbath day, and fasting to Yahuwah, our God. And for whatever reproach or whatever other problems, other people or other things that you're concerned about in your life, it's good to deny your flesh. It helps you to, in your walk of repentance, to deny yourself. And that's the usefulness of fasting. And not only that, fasting can be a very healthy thing to do for cleansing your body, cleansing your system, and giving it a break. That's why it's a good thing to practice fasting. Like, I won't eat after sundown in most instances. And I will not eat until, sometimes till noon, depending if I'm going to labor, or if I'm even sitting, getting up before this mic, I have to eat something, or I can't talk for 2 hours without running out of energy. And so that's not a good thing. But when you can do it, it's good to practice fasting. It helps you to learn how to deny the flesh. It helps you to learn obedience, because after all, that's what obedience is all about. It's all about, well, there's a positive side to it, obedience to do the right thing. But most of us struggle with the things that we used to do, or the things that we would like to do, but we know that we shouldn't do. So to deny ourselves, fasting is one way to learn and to practice denying the flesh. So in our walk of repentance. So David says, "When I wept and I chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Yahuwah, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy hear me, and in the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, Yahuwah." And here we have the name of the Creator in the original text. "Hear me, Yahuwah, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." And, you know, I think there is a difference. You know, David, sometimes he says God, sometimes he says Lord. Perhaps the difference is in an intimacy, in a directness, in a feeling of face to face. You know, I'm calling on the name of the Creator. Hear me, Yahuwah, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And you know, that's speaking of diet. In the land of idolatry here, where more people vote for on American Idolatry, or is that what that show, program's called? Oh, American Idol. Isn't Idol, isn't that short for idolatry? Yes, more people vote on American Idol than vote for the president. There was one guy heard that they should just have the American Idol president and let him get up there and sing or whatever. And they should vote for presidents the way they vote for American Idol. And let these guys, you know, get 20 of them or whatever out of that they pick out of thousands and let them get up there and impress us for a whole season on television. And at the end, we all get to vote. How about that? American Idol. Yes. Indeed. American idolatry. But anyway, how did I get off on that? Oh, yes, let their table become a snare before them, and that which would have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And I was thinking about diet, the whole diet thing. How I got off on American idolatry, I don't know. But, yeah, American idolatry. We have supermarkets full of food. And you know what? If we don't pay attention to God's law, and we don't have some common sense, and we don't say, I'm going to, you know, God made me. God made food for me. You know, I can put that together in my brain and figure out what I can eat and what I can't eat. And then you add, God made me. God made the food for me. And he gave me his law and said some things you shouldn't eat. And so if putting all that together, I think that I can figure out what is good for me and what is not good for me. And I can learn how to supplement too, because I can realize that a lot of the food that out there is deficient. So we need to use a wisdom when we put food in our mouth. But here, you know, David praying for his enemies, I would say praying for his enemies, let their table become a snare before them. You know, that's what we have here in America. That's why all of the heathen have to run down to their allopathic witch doctors. They're the witch doctors or the high priests of pharmakia, using common sense, realizing that our Heavenly Father, our Creator, created us. He created food for us. And if we can put those two thoughts together, perhaps we can use a little common sense in governing our diet. And then you add to that his dietary law, and you should do well. That's right. You should do well. But David's praying for his enemy. He says, let their table become a snare before them. You know, and all the enemies of God, it is absolutely true that their table has become a snare for them because they aren't obedient and common sense is hidden from them. So they go on and pollute their bodies and suffer. because of their disobedience and their ignorance. Let's not be among that crowd. Let's wake up. Let's open our eyes. Let's realize that our Creator created us. He created good food for us, and He gave us His law and told us what we should not eat. And with that, we could do very well. And with a little more sense, by supplementing with good supplements, we could do even better. So just, I think words of wisdom there, but an understanding of what David is saying here. Let their table become a snare before them. So those that continue in their wickedness and their idolatry, yes, their table is a snare to them. And they have to run to their priests, their high priests of pharmacy and allopathic witch doctors to relieve their pain. And of course, they do it all for gain. They give you one drug, which means that you'll be back for 10 more because of the complications. And you know, if you can't hear, I mean, those commercials, you hear them on the TV and you see them for these, this pharmacia all the time, that you have to get a prescription. You can't just go to the store and buy this stuff because it's so dangerous. And then they whisper real quickly at the end of the commercial or during it. They pop it in there so you won't pay attention to it. But listen to what these people are saying about these drugs and all of the bad side effects. You know, you get 10 bad side effects, and you're going to fix what? You're going to fix one symptom? Oh, it's foolishness. It's nonsense. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. You know, a lot of people would think, oh, how unkind of David. I wonder. A man after God's own heart? David continues, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please Yahuwah better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For Yahuwah heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Yes, the world may despise you who are a prisoner for him, but he does not. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, for they that love his name shall dwell therein. And I love his name. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but I'm doing the best I can. I love the name, and I will dwell therein. Psalm 70. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. You know, as I read this, I think about all of the people from Tony Alamo and his church, and all the people that are in prison for that, and all of the children that have been stolen and imprisoned, and they're trying to indoctrinate them into pagan idolatry. And this would be a good psalm to pray for those people, for those, if I was sitting in that cell, and for righteousness' sake, and let me never be in a cell for any other reason than righteousness' sake. Well, let me turn to Psalm 70. let them be ashamed and be confounded. And they will be. They could keep me in prison for the rest of my life, but I know that forever is a long time. And this life is very short. If I live another 50, 60 years, it'll still be too short because it goes by so quickly. And they will suffer forever unless they repent. You know, I hope they all repent, but I know they won't. You know, I face that reality. That's the reality that I've had to face, that most people will not repent, that most people have been fashioned for destruction, and they wouldn't have it any other way. That's right. And then there's a whole class of people that fool themselves into thinking that God is going to let them into heaven because they're good people. And of course, they're better than people like, you know, and then they'll think of murderers and thieves and the most wicked people they can think of. And they'll think, I'm better than that. But they're depending on their own righteousness, not the blood of the Lamb. Because it is only by trusting in Him, by faith in Him, that His righteousness can be imputed to us. Because none of us are good enough. And even if we were good enough, even if suddenly we could stop sinning, or even if we were born and never sinned our whole life. And, you know, there could have been people like that, you know. There could have been people like that. Perhaps, what's his name? The guy that was taken up. I'm trying to think of his name. I can't think of it. But God took him. Enoch, that's the guy I'm thinking of. That Enoch walked with God. And God took Enoch, just took him. Enoch didn't die, He just took him. But even Enoch had the blood of the Lamb applied to him. Because even if we were born and never sinned our whole life, we still have a sin debt that we were born with because of the corrupt seed from which we were born, that seed of Adam, from which we were all born. Because in that day, and it was pronounced, you shall surely die, they ate of the fruit. They receive that death sentence, and every one of us is born with that death sentence. If anyone can say, I shall not surely die, then they are a fool. Anyone who thinks their mortal existence is going to go on forever is a fool. I don't know anybody who thinks that they're not going to die. Even the most wicked atheists out there who go on saying there is no God and ignore Him all their lives, none of them. They all think they're just going to die and turn into dirt. And that's their hope. And oh, you know, if only they were right, then they would be most happy of all men, I guess, because they could continue in their sin and their wickedness and idolatry and just be rewarded by turning into dirt. And that would be a reward compared with what is really going to happen to them. It's not going to be dirt. It's going to be something far worse. They're going to be left. Everything good, even that which they have, shall be taken away from them. Everything good in their life will be gone because it's all a gift from God. And they would not praise God for it nor give Him credit for the good in their life. But they say, I am a good man, and certainly God is not going to let me go to hell. Their own righteousness, the goodness, any good thing in their life, the good thing that they might have done, the good feelings, all a gift from God, and they would not give Him the glory for it. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. And they're out there. We hear them all the time. They're going, aha, aha. You know, first they brought the accusation against the minister of God and said that he was producing pornography, child pornography, internet pornography, and they raided his compound and they looked high and low, and behold, the minister was blind. He couldn't see pornography, let alone produce any of it, and they found nothing. And they said, oh, well, we gotta trump up something else. And they said, aha, aha, here we find some false witnesses to witness against him. And they pressured as many people as they could. They found, I guess, five false witnesses to prosecute him on some the Mann Act. some law that they made to prosecute people on that are involved in prostitution, interstate prostitution. Yes, certainly. So they brought him and put him in jail for that. Yes, you know, there's something rotten when they can't back up one charge and they invent another one against you. Something not quite right about that. Well, we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.